Our gospel reading today comes from the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." Let's join together in the statement of faith of our United Church of Christ. We believe in God, the eternal Spirit, who is made known to us in Jesus our Lord, and to whose deeds we testify. God calls the worlds into being, creates humankind in the divine image, and sets before us the ways of life and death. God seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. God judges all humanity and all nations by that will of righteousness declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord, God has come to us and shared our common lot. Conquering sin and death, and reconciling the whole creation to its Creator, God bestows upon us the Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. God calls us into the Church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be servants in the service of the whole human family, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. God promises to all who trust in the gospel forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, the presence of the Holy Spirit in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in that kingdom which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto God. Amen.
Our focus scripture this morning comes from one of Paul's letters, Paul's letter to the Philippians, the church in Philippi, from the second chapter, the first 13 verses. Paul has been to Philippi and an hour's away, and he's writing this letter back to them, and he has some encouragement for them, some instruction for them, as they continue in the church, in that particular faith community. So here are these words. Pay close attention to these words from Paul's letter, and I share it with you this morning from The Message. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Jesus, of his love, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before him and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God. What I'm getting at, friends, is this: that you should simply keep on doing what you've been doing from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. God willing and working, and what will give God the most pleasure. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have a little something for you this morning. We'll pass it around. I'll get Arlen one back here. Take one and pass the basket. I'll take one too. We all know what these are, right? Or what this is. This is a battery, right? AA battery. But it's not just any battery. This is an Energizer battery. You know, the one that keeps going and going and going. The one that the Energizer Bunny, you know, runs all over beating his drum and just never stops. Well, unfortunately, these batteries are done going. They lit our candles up here. And they will be recycled eventually when I collect enough of them. The power, the energy in these batteries is gone. It's been used up, right? But we have a lot of things that use batteries. A lot of things. Cell phone's got a battery in it. Your computer has, if it's a laptop, it's got a battery in it. And a backup, maybe you have a backup battery for your desktop if you have one of those. You know, transistor radios. You remember transistor radios? Some of you do, right? They had a battery. I mean, you know, the old technology, transistor radios. What the heck is that? My kids wouldn't know. Batteries provide energy for a lot of the things in our lives, and we need energy to power those conveniences that we have, those modern conveniences, to power our technology. We need energy to power us. Of course, we don't take batteries, although sometimes it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Just feel a little low on energy, you stick a battery in and you're on your way. Because sometimes our energy does run low. We get energy from lots of things. Food provides our basic energy, keeps our bodies functioning, and keeps us going. Sometimes when our energy runs low, we have other things, not batteries, but that give us some energy. Maybe it's coffee. Does coffee give you energy? It's a stimulant, gives you energy? Sure. How about that 5-hour energy drink, that little bottle that you see in the convenience stores and the checkout counter, other places? A big energy booster for our kids, or that generation, the generation of our children, is Red Bull. And they figured out all sorts of ways to make that taste even better, or do more things than just give you energy. Or there's another one, isn't it called Monster, or something like that? And for us old folk that have been around a while, you remember Geritol? That's all that was. Lawrence Welk pushed that stuff hard on Saturday nights, right? Geritol used to sponsor Lawrence Welk. Gives you more energy. Is that stuff even around anymore? I'll have to look on the shelves. I don't know if it is or not. This piece of scripture that we shared this morning from Paul to the church in Philippi is to encourage the church, this faith community, to live out their unity. Remember, come unity. The community of faith that we gathers together, like we gather together as this particular congregation, in unity to do the ministry, the work that God has called us to do. And Paul is writing to the church in Philippi to encourage them to live out that unity within themselves, that unity that they have promised to be with and about in Jesus and with Jesus. But to live in community in a certain way, not just any way, but in God's way. And what way is that? Well, we heard that. Here it is again. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside. Help others get ahead first. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage, and forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Wow. That's going to take a lot of energy. Because that's not the way that I would guess that the Philippians, at least in the culture, were taught to live. It's not the way we're taught to live, is it? We're supposed to be the ones. We want to get ahead first. Put others behind. You're number one. It's a me thing. Work your way to the top. Get there before anybody else. Get an advantage. Think about yourselves. That's what the world teaches. At least that's what I hear. We hear it on a regular basis in one way or another. So what Paul is instructing the church in Philippi to do, the way that Paul is asking them to live, is going to take some hard work and a lot of energy. To live in a way contrary to what is the popular way to live takes a lot of strength, a lot of courage, a lot of energy to live in opposition to, doesn't it? It's going to take a lot of energy. It took a lot of energy then. It's going to take a lot of energy for us now. To live that way together in the church, outside of the church, it's not an easy thing. From the inception, from the beginning of the United Church of Christ, one of the mottos that has been on letterheads and we still lift up today is these words from Scripture, that they may all be one. It's part of a prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples and the community and the people of his time and for us as well. That they may all be one, that we may all be united. One in Christ, one in God, working together. That is what we proclaim this day, this World Communion Sunday, as we gather around this table, as well as churches around the country, around the world. Christians gathering at God's table to symbolize, to signify, to proclaim our unity, our oneness in Jesus, even though we have differences. And we do have differences, don't we? It is Jesus who binds us together, who makes us one. It's what we have in common, even though we might understand him differently. Even though we might understand God differently, the Bible differently in some aspects, in some ways. We are still one. And we should keep in mind that, as H. Jackson Brown Jr. says, every person that you meet knows something that you don't. Learn from them. Every person that we meet, every Christian that we encounter knows something that we don't. We can learn something from everybody because we are united together. We are one in Jesus. And even though we have that single thing that unites us together, there are still things that keep us apart. So it does take energy to unite with one another, even with common beliefs. We gather around this table this morning to share this bread and this cup. As we always do, and with other churches around the world and in our nation this morning. This table is our battery. This is one of our energizers. The table, the bread and the cup as we take it, energize us when our energy is running low. Gives us strength and courage and the will to continue to work for unity, because we know it hasn't been accomplished yet. There's still work to do. That was brought home to me last week as we visited the Center for Civil and Human Rights. We still have work to do to be one human family, to unite together, to meet the needs of one another. It's going to take a lot of energy. Energizer batteries, we don't need them. The Energizer Bunny does, but we're not the Energizer Bunny. We're God's children, Jesus' disciples, called together to be one with everybody. Paul told the church in Philippi to redouble their efforts. I believe it'll at least take a redoubling of our efforts to become one with each other. So it's going to take more energy. More energy than we alone have. But our energy doesn't come from batteries. It comes from God. And God's energy will be there for us. We can draw upon it whenever we need to. Around this table, when we come to worship, in prayer during the week, from one another, God's energy will be there. It will be around us and it will be deep within us. To continue the unifying work that Jesus established in his ministry and calls us to continue. God's energy. God's willing us to work towards what God envisions. What God wants for God's world. For everybody. Amen. Let us join now in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.